have the children come up, we'll dismiss our children to children's church. Come on up, guys. They're doing control, alt, delete this month. They're studying forgiveness. Do y'all use control, alt, delete on a computer?
Yeah.
Once in a while, yeah, when it freezes up. Yeah. That's not a good thing to do, but sometimes you have to, right? But forgiveness is a good thing to do. And they're learning all about forgiveness. That's what the whole lesson is about today. So God, we pray for these boys and girls. We lift them up to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for Tyler and Vanessa and James and Nathaniel. I mess that up a lot. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name you would bless them and encourage them, teach them your word, strengthen them, Lord. And Lord, we love them. So bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. See you guys later. And Rick, yeah, pray for Rick. A double portion. Praise the Lord. If you need a Bible there at your seat, they're there at your seats. Just underneath if you need one. If you didn't bring a Bible today, we want you to take that home with you if you don't have one. That's yours to keep. We want to bless you with that gift today. If you do have a Bible and you just forgot it for whatever reason, go ahead and use that one. We're going to be studying and reading in the book of James today. The message today is an understanding mind. An understanding mind. We've been studying turning trials into triumphs. Turning trials into triumphs. That's the season of messages. We're going to have four messages on this particular passage. Throughout the Bible, people turn defeat into victory. They turn trial into triumph. Instead of becoming victims in their life, they become victors over the problems and trials and stuff that plague them. James tells us that we can have that very same experience today. We don't have to be a victim of our circumstances. We don't have to be defeated by the trials that come our way. We can have victory over every single one of them. No matter what trial may be on the outside, no matter what temptation you may be battling with on the inside, through faith in Christ, you can experience victory. The result of this victory is spiritual maturity. That's the point. That's the reason behind all the trials, is spiritual maturity. There are four things that we need to get a handle on in order to have victory over trials and temptations. Four things. Last week we covered the first one. Have a joyful attitude. Cultivate a joyful attitude. Have a joyful attitude. Two steps to that. First one we talked about was immediately give thanks to God when you're faced with a trial. Immediately give thanks to God. That's not our natural inclination. When we're faced with a trial, we don't go, "Oh, yes, that's a great thing. Praise the Lord," right? We kind of moan and groan. We need to change that. And that's a choice. That's something we do out of obedience. We know that that's what we need to accomplish. And adopt a joyful attitude, even in the darkest hours of our life. It's a choice. Cultivate that. If you want, we were supposed to have a new thing on our card. Next week, we'll have a new thing on our card. I want information on, just check the blank there. If you want a copy of last week's sermon, you fill out the front and check that box, and we'll mail that to you. No charge. We'll send you a copy of last week's sermon if you missed that or want to hear it again. Or you can go on the website, and our sermons are on the website. You can listen to them again online, or you can, I think, click a link and forward it to a friend if you want to share it. So this week, we're going to cover the second thing that we really need in order to turn trials into triumph. This week, we're going to cover the understanding mind. We need to have an understanding of what's happening in our life when we go through a trial. So turn with me to James. That's all the way in the back of the Bible. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. If you get to Hebrews, it's one more book over. James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 12 again for the whole section. And then we'll talk about verse 4 this morning. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Remember, not sheltered, but scattered. count or consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That's this verse we're studying this morning. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty fades, is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away, even while he goes about his business. And here's another beatitude. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Even with a joyful attitude, I'll be really honest with you, because that's what I need to do, right? Even with a joyful attitude, trials can be challenging to face. They can be even more difficult to endure for a long period of time. I'm not telling you anything you don't know there. So the question comes, if God wants us to have a joyful attitude, how is it possible to have a joyful attitude in the midst of trials? How is it possible? The answer to that question comes through another question. Because if maturity is the end result, then what do mature Christians know that makes it easier for them to face trials and benefit from them? What's the secret of mature Christians as they face trials? The first thing that we need to know, because this is the sermon on the understanding mind, this is if we understand what the trials are all about and the point of them, I believe it'll make it easier for us to face. So the first thing we have to know, the first thing we have to understand, if you open up your bulletin there, there's a sermon guide. The first thing is not that. The first thing is, faith is always tested. Faith is always tested. Warren Wiersbe, who I've had the privilege, my wife and I have had privilege to eat with, and I was told, a pastor that's really close to him, you know, I want to consider him my friend, but we've only met him twice, and you know, he says, no, if you're have any association with Warren Wiersbe, he considers you his friend. He's a wonderful man of God. And his famous statement is, untested faith is unreliable faith. Untested faith is unreliable faith. When God called Abraham to live by faith, he tested him in order to increase Abraham's faith. And Abraham is the father of our faith. You can read about him in the beginning of Genesis. God always tests our faith to bring out the best in us. Satan tempts us to bring out the worst in us. The testing of our faith proves that we are truly born again, that we belong to God as we go through those trials and temptations and we stand firm in them. As I was preparing the sermon this week, I took a break from preparation and I started reminiscing and thinking about some of the trials that we had gone through in our life. I've mentioned some of them because they shape us. They make us into who we are. I thought about, which I shared with you before, our marriage test, our marriage trial. We went through a time in our life where we had a really challenge. We were so close to calling it quits. But God showed up, and we waited on the Lord so many times. I'm an action-oriented person. I want to fix it or deal with it or whatever. And so many times, for about 8 months, every devotion I had was wait on God. Wait on the Lord. We had a ministry test when I said yes to the ministry. Someday I'll have to share that whole thing with you. It would take too long this morning. But when I finally said yes to God, oh, we had like rapid fire issues, from IRS audits to lawsuits, all kinds of stuff coming in. It was like, oh my goodness, are you serious? This is crazy. We had a financial crisis, a financial test, if you will, a financial trial, where we were doing really well, had a successful business, a law changed, and the entire industry collapsed out from underneath us. 1,300 of that same business closed that year. We hung on for as long as we could. Our association was campaigning to get the lobbyists changing and all of the stuff, and we couldn't hold on another minute. We ended up losing our entire retirement and savings. We had poured our life into that business. It was a real test and challenge for us. We had, I don't want to embarrass him. Craig, come up here. I'll embarrass you. You'll get over it. If not, we'll have some psychotherapy. This was probably one of our toughest tests, and many of you may not know this, but lift your neck up. When Craig, there's a scar that runs right from here to here. Thank you. We were camping. We were camping in Ocala National Park. Talk about a trial. We were camping in Ocala National Park. If you know anything about Ocala National Park, it's humongous. You would think it's near Ocala, Florida, nice city, and it would be easy to get medical care. Well, it's an hour where we were at from any hospital. We were camping there, and Craig was a little guy, and he's riding his bike around on this little hill, and all of a sudden his brakes went out, and he crashed into these branches. We were at the campground. We didn't even know, what happened. And if you know anything about a palmetto branch, how many of you even know what a palmetto branch is? A few? They're like razor blades, the branches. And it just, we got to the hospital. They said people die from this all the time. And when he came, his shirt was completely filled with blood. We just knew somehow he had closed the artery, but we just knew it was more serious than it was. And it was like an eighth of an inch or something from the artery that he would have bled to death in seconds. Talk about a trial. That was a tough one. Jason, I want to pick on all the kids this morning. I might as well, I guess. Jason, he's not here, but Jason has dyslexia. And I'm telling you, we have learned to receive it as a gift, because it is. Disney had dyslexia, Winston Churchill, Thomas Edison, all the famous inventors. They can see problems. They can see a problem or an issue or work with their hands and see it from so many different perspectives. He's an amazing problem solver, Jason is. But the downside to that is it's incredibly, I probably had some of this growing up, incredibly difficult to read. I mean, spell, read is a real challenge. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours in teaching him to read and spell and so on, and telling you that patience, it was not my strong suit. I don't know if it still is, but God developed it through Jason. Now, Stephen, he's just perfect. He's the third one. And living with perfection, that has its own test. They'll all get even with me later, I'm sure. So, as you're facing trials, as we start to get into this, you'll hear a little bit more about some of these in a few minutes as we go through the message. But as you start to understand that faith gets tested, you might want to flip your communication card over and mark something. Maybe you, like me, need to memorize James chapter 1, verse 3. Just to remember that what's it saying here, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Testing of your faith. And that's a great verse to remember. God, why am I going through this? You want to develop some perseverance in my life. So now that you know what, you can go forward in that. You see what I'm saying? So it's important to understand that. The second thing that you got to know before you start to face trials of all kinds is that testing works for us, not against us. Testing, trials work for us, not against us. Knowing this, James says, this is the King James, same verse, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So patience probably is a better translation here than perseverance. A little twist on the Greek word there that makes either one okay, but probably patience is a better, probably what James was pushing at a little better. So probably the King James is a little better on this verse. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word trying can be translated also, it can be translated approval. Approval. Again, Peter helps us understand this from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth. That perishes. Our faith is much more valuable than gold because it perishes. And if you have faith in Christ, it never perishes. It lives forever. So how much more important is it to refine our faith? To refine our faith. Gold prospectors take their ore samples into the assayer's office to get them approved, to get them tested. The sample itself, even if it's pure gold, usually you just take a little bit, when you take it in, it may be worth a few dollars, maybe a few hundred dollars. But the approval, the little certificate that the assayer gives you, that says this is real gold, can be worth millions. Because that's how the prospector knows that he really has a gold mine, back where he got that little bit of gold. God's approval of our faith is precious, but because it assures us that our faith is genuine when we withstand the test, when we go through that with God. Trials work for the believer, not against the believer. Paul said in Romans 8, he says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, and our light affliction, which is here but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I don't know about you, but here's another thing I think that would be good for us today. I think it would be good for us today to check the next thing, to give thanks. I have the wrong card from last week. That's why the things aren't matching up for me. Thank you. So, you know what? It is, please mail a message of last week's sermon. There you go. So, the second one is the next step. We believe that Christian life is a series of next steps. List and meditate on three times in your life when trials worked for you and not against you. If you're anything like me, you've had a series of trials. Some of you have had more trials than me, some of you less. But you can think back, if you hindsight is good, you can look back and go, I can see, if you study them carefully, how God used those trials to shape me. If you want to do that this week, I encourage you to do that because it'll help you as you see how God has done that. It'll help you in the future as God shapes you. Mark that. I'll be praying for you this week as you do that. As I said, we went through a marriage test, a ministry test, a financial trial, Craig's neck, the accident he had, Jason's dyslexia, and so on. Through those trials, we learn, first of all, to trust God. You know, did we believe in God? You bet. Let me tell you, our faith strengthened as we leaned on God every day of our marriage trial. Every day, we learn to wait on God and we learn to trust God. This is in your hands. We learn to believe God's promises during the financial collapse that we had in our life. I mean, we went from living really, really, really well to not knowing how we were going to get groceries within maybe a year. We used up our savings and we had to learn to believe God's promises. And He showed up every time we needed Him. One of the promises we relied on that was really tested, it was a test for us during that time, do we continue to tithe? We desperately need that little bit of money now from the tithe. I mean, that was a big deal for us. Everything you have, this is another lesson, everything you have belongs to God. It's all His anyway. He asks us to trust Him enough with our finances so they don't become king in our life to give Him back 10% of what He gives to us. When you don't have much, that 10% can seem like a lot, right? We don't know how we're going to have food money on Monday, and here we're Sunday at church, and we decided early on in our marriage, before we were even married in premarital counseling, that we were going to always tithe first. No matter what happened in our life, and God said, let's see that happen. And He did, and we were tested, and we tithed. We didn't know how we were even going to get groceries or pay the light bill. Let me tell you something. During that time in our life, God never let the lights go off. God never let us go hungry. God showed up every single time in unbelievable ways. I would come in with a mail and say, God, Jim, look what God did today for us. It was unbelievable. With waiting on God with patience, as I already said with Jason, discipleship, teaching our children, the value in that, we learned the value in teaching our kids the way of the Lord. But probably the number one lesson as I reminisce this week that we learned through trials, just getting real transparent with you, is we learned to love. I didn't share with you one of the trials God got brought it our way was, you know, some people are harder to love than others. You knew that already. But you know what? God calls you to love them anyway. Even the hard and difficult ones to love. Now, there's none of you qualify here, of course. And we're, but in other ministries, right? But in other ministries, we had some really challenging people, especially in inner city work. You know, you help them, they come and ask for help. You help them, no thanks, no nothing. They expect it. There was just, it was hard to love those folks sometimes. But God said, I brought you here, and they need my love, and you're going to be the instrument to give it to them. God calls us to love our enemies, our neighbors, our everybody. God taught us to love. The third thing you need to know when going through a trial, the third thing you need to know is trials rightly used help us to mature. Trials rightly used help us to mature. What does God want to produce in your life? The answer is patience, endurance, the ability to keep going when things get really tough. Paul said in Romans 5, we glory in tribulations and trials also, knowing that the trials, the tribulations, work patience. Patience, endurance, and endurance, hope. In the Bible, patience is not a passive acceptance of circumstances. Patience is a courageous perseverance in the face of suffering and difficulty. I want to say that a little bit differently one more time because I want you to get this. Patience is courageous perseverance in the face of suffering and difficulty. Not the passive acceptance of what's going on, but you look at that and you persevere, even though it's a challenge. That's patience. Immature people are pretty much always impatient. Mature people, mature Christians, are patient and persistent. Impatience and unbelief usually go together just as faith and patience go together. The writer of the Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 12 said, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's how we inherit the promises. In verse 10, in chapter 10, 36 in Hebrews, all these verses are in your notes on the other side of that page. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promises. Awesome verse. Isaiah verse 28, chapter 28, verse 16, he that believes will not make haste. Isn't that interesting? He that believes is just going to trust God and walk with Him in this. God wants to make us patient because patience is the key to every other blessing in the spiritual life. The little child who doesn't learn to be patient will not learn much of anything else. It takes patience to learn. Think that through. It takes patience to learn. Have you ever tried to learn a foreign language? I am terrible with languages. It takes an infinite amount of patience for me to try to learn Spanish. When a believer learns to wait on the Lord, God can do great things through him. Abraham ran ahead of God. He married Hagar, and he brought great sorrow on his home. In Exodus chapter 2, Moses ran ahead of God. Moses was supposed to deliver the people of Israel from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Instead, he murdered a man. God had to send him away for 40 years to tend sheep, to teach him patience. Peter almost killed a man in his impatience when they arrested Jesus. The only way the Lord can develop patience and character in our life is through trials. Endurance cannot be attained by reading a book. Endurance can't be attained by listening to a sermon. Endurance cannot even be attained by praying a prayer. You must go through the difficult trials of life in order to know how to trust God with everything and obey Him through all of that. The result is patience and character. Knowing this, we can face trials joyfully, knowing these things. If we know that faith is always tested, if we know that testing works for us, not against us, if we know that trials rightly used help us to mature as we go through the trials of life, we know what God is doing through them, it makes them a little bit easier to go through. This fact explains why studying the Bible helps us to grow patience. As we read about Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, even Jesus. My voice is giving out here. Goodness. God fulfills. I need some water. Goodness. I've had a tickle in my throat for 2 days, and I don't know. God fulfills His purposes as we trust Him, and there's no substitute for an understanding mind. Satan can defeat the ignorant believer. Do you hear that? Not very well, I know. Satan can defeat the ignorant believer, but he can overcome. He cannot overcome the Christian who knows his Bible and understands the promises and purposes of God. Thank you so much. So the next step we want to go through today, the last one is, pray that God will use you, will help you mature through trials in your life. If you can pray that as you're going through a trial, God, use this to help me mature in my faith. It'll help you go through them. It'll help you face them. You'll know that God is doing something great. Next week, we're going to continue our series, Turning Trials into Triumphs. But next week, we're going to be learning about partnering with God during a trial. And that'll help us turn that around. So God, thank you, Jill. Bless the Lord. Ricola, wasn't that a song or something, a little thing? Father, we want to just thank you for your faithfulness. You are a great God, full of hope and mercy, grace and truth. And we know, Lord, that you never waste anything that happens in our life. That you always use our trials, our circumstances, the things that we face, no matter how challenging. Lord, your promise and your word is that for those who love you, all things, every trial we face, Lord, no matter what may happen to our children or our grandchildren, no matter what may happen in our lives, God, I remember when you took Nathan, God, my 13-year-old nephew, and Lord, that was a trial that devastated, leveled our family for so long. But God, through it, you brought... We know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we're going to spend eternity with Nathan. we're going to miss him until then, God, but you are such a great God. And Lord, we thank you for the 13 years of life we had with him. And Father, we can look back on trials of life and Lord, we can smile upon them at this point because we know that you helped mature us and save us and shape us and mold us. You taught us to love through trials. So we pray in the name of Jesus as we face tomorrow's trial, as we face the trial next week in our life or the next season of our life, as these come in and out of our life, as we oscillate between them. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us with these points, that you would help us, Lord, know that faith is always tested, that God testing works for us, not against us. And trials rightly used help us mature. Lord, keep that front and center in our mind. Untested faith is unreliable faith. And Lord, we want our faith to build and grow. We want to be more like Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for this word from James in Jesus' name. Now, God, help us apply it to our heart and life. We pray. While we have our heads bowed, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, you can go through trials without Jesus, but not very successfully. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you. The first thing you got to do is admit you're a sinner, that you've sinned against a holy God and you deserve His wrath, not His goodness. And God made a way for you to have your sins forgiven by sending His Son Jesus to die on a cross to pay for the penalty of the sin that you've sinned. And if you'll believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and rose again from the dead, you'll be saved. You confess your sins to God, asking God to forgive them because of what Jesus Christ did for you, and He will do that. He will forgive your sin. He'll wash it away. He'll cleanse you because the fine's already been paid. So God, we pray if anyone needs salvation this morning, that you would move into their life, that you would show them the truth, that you would take the practicalness of your word, of your message to us this morning, and show them that the entire Bible is just like this, filled with little nuggets that we can apply to our heart and life and become more like Jesus. Do that, Lord, for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed to receive Jesus,